Chapter 14. A recording angel in recitative, this movement, as of mollusks on a leaf, which from our vantage here we scan afar, is one maneuvered by the famous Mac to counter check Napoleon, still believed to be intent on England from Bowlin, and heedless of such rallies in his rear. Mac's enterprise is now to cross Bavaria beneath a stretched in ripening summer pieces field unwonted for these ugly jars, outraged Bavaria, simmering in disquiet at Munich down behind us, icer fringed, and torn between his fair wife's hate of France and his own itch, to gird at Austrian bluff for riding roughshod through his territory, wavers from this to that. The while time pastes the eastward streaming of Napoleon's host, as soon we see. The silent insect creep of the Austrian columns towards the banks of the Inn continues to be seen till the view fades to nebulousness and dissolves. Scene 3, Bowlin. The street Omer Road, it is morning at the end of August, and the road stretches out of the town eastward. The divisions of the Army for England are making preparations to march. Some portions are in marching order. Bands strike up, and the regiments start on their journey towards the Rhine and Danube. Bonaparte and his officers watch the movements from an eminence. The soldiers, as they pace along under their eagles with beaming eyes, sing each and do depart, and other martial songs, shout Ive l'Empereur, and babble of repeating the days of Italy, Egypt, Marengo, and Hohenlinden. Napoleon, anon to England. Chorus of intelligences, aerial music, if time's weird thread so weave. The scene as it lingers exhibits the gradual diminishing of the troops along the roads through the undulating August landscape, till each column is seen, but as a train of dust, and the disappearance of each marching mass over the eastern horizon. Act 4th, Scene I, King George's Watering Place, South Wessex, a sunny day in autumn. A room in the red brick royal residence known as Gloucester Lodge. 8. At a front triple lighted window stands a telescope on a tripod. Through the open middle sash is visible the crescent curved expanse of the bay as a sheet of brilliant translucent green, on which ride vessels of war at anchor. On the left hand white cliffs stretch away till they terminate in St. Aldhelm's Head, and form a background to the level water line on that side. In the center, are the open sea and blue sky. A near headland rises on the right, surmounted by a battery, over which appears the remoter bald gray brow of the Isle of Slingers. In the foreground yellow sand spreads smoothly, whereon there are sundry temporary erections for athletic sports, and closer at hand runs an esplanade on which a fashionable crowd is promenading. Immediately outside the lodge are companies of soldiers, groups of officers, and sentries. Within the room the king and Pitt are discovered. The king's eyes show traces of recent inflammation, and the minister has a wasted look. King, yes, yes, I grasp your reasons, Mr. Pitt, and grant you audience gladly. More than that, your visit to this shore is apt and timely, and if it do, but yield you needful rest from fierce debate, and other strains of office which you and I in common have to bear, 'twill be well earned. The bathing is unmatched elsewhere in Europe, see its mark on me. The air like liquid life. But of this matter, what argue these late movements seen abroad? What of the country now the session's past? What of the country, eh? And of the war? Pitt, the thoughts I have laid before your majesty would make for this, in sum, that Mr. Fox, Lord Grenville, and their friends, be straightway asked to join, with Melville gone, with Sidmouth, and with Buckinghamshire too, the steerage of affairs has stood of late somewhat provisional, as you, sir, know, with stopgap functions thrust on offices which common weal can tolerate but a while. So, for the weighty reasons I have urged, I do repeat my most respectful hope to win your majesty's ungrudged assent to what I have proposed. King, but nothing, sure, has been more plain to all, dear Mr. Pitt, than that your own proved energy and scope is ample, without aid, to carry on our just crusade against the Corsican. Why, then, go calling Fox and Grenville in. Such helps we need not. pray you think upon and speak to me again. We've had alarms making us skip like crackers at our heels. That Bonaparte had landed close hereby. Pitt, such rumors come as regularly as harvest. King, and now he has left Bowlen with all his host? Was it his object to invade at all, or was his vast assemblage there a blind? Pitt, undoubtedly he meant invasion, sir, had fortune favored. He may try it yet. And, as I said, could we but close with Fox? King, but, I ask, what is his object now? Lord Nelson's Captain Hardy, whose old home stands in a peaceful vale hard by us here, who came 2 weeks ago to see his friends, I talked to in this room a lengthy while. He says our navy still is in thick night, as to the aims by sea of Bonaparte now the Bowlen attempt has fizzled out, and what he schemes afloat with Spain combined. The victory lay that fortnight at Spithead, and Nelson since has gone aboard and sailed, yes, sailed again. The oil sovereign follows, and others her. Nelson was hailed and cheered to huskiness, while leaving South Sea shore, gentle and simple wildly thronging round. Pitt, sir. Young women hung upon his arm, and old ones blessed, and stroked him with their hands. King, you have heard, of course. Godspeed him, Pitt. Pitt, amen. King, I read it as a thing of signal augury, and one which bodes heaven's confidence in me, and in my line, that I should rule as king in such an age. Well. So this new march of Bonaparte's was unexpected, forced perchance on him? Pitt, it may be so, your majesty, it may. Last noon the Austrian ambassador, whom I consulted ere I posted down, assured me that his latest papers word, how General Mack and 80,000 men have made good speed across Bavaria to wait the French, and give them check at Ulm, that fortress frontier town, entrenched and walled, a place long chosen as a vantage point whereon, to encounter them as they outwind from the blind shades, and baffling green defiles of the black forest, worn with wayfaring. Here Mack will intercept his agile foe hasting to meet the Russians in Bohemia, and cripple him, if not annihilate. Thus now, sir, opens out this great alliance of Russia, Austria, England, whereto I have lent my earnest efforts through long months, and the realm gives her money, ships, and men. It claps a muffler round the cock's steel spurs, and leaves me sanguine on his overthrow. But, then, this coalition of resources demands a strong and active cabinet, to aid your majesty's directive hand, and thus I urge again the said additions these brilliant intellects of the other side who stand by Fox. With us conjoined, they, king, what, again in face of my sound reasons. Believe me, Pitt, you underrate yourself. You do not need such aid. The splendid feat of banding Europe in a righteous cause, that you have achieved, so soon to put to shame this wicked bombardier of dynasties, that rule by right divine, goes straight to prove we had best continue as we have begun, and call no partners to our management. To fear dilemmas horning up ahead is not your wont. Nay, now, Mr. Pitt, I must be firm. And if you love your king you'll goad him, not so rashly to embrace this Fox Grenville faction and its friends. Rather than Fox, why, give me civil war. Hey, what? But what besides? Pitt, I say besides, sir, nothing. A silence. King, cheerfully, the Chancellor's here, and many friends of mine. Lady Winchelsea, Lord, and Lady Chesterfield, Lady Bulkley, General Garth, and Mr. Phipps the oculist not the least important to me. He is a worthy and a skillful man. My eyes, he says, are as marvelously improved in durability as I know them to be in power. I have arranged to go tomorrow with the princesses, and the dukes of Cumberland, Sussex, and Cambridge, who are also here, for a ride on the Ridgeway, and through the camp on the Downs. You'll accompany us there? Pitt, I am honored by your majesty's commands. Pitt looks resignedly out of the window. What curious structure do I see outside, sir? King, it's but a stage, a type of all the world. The burgesses have arranged it in my honor. At 6 o'clock this evening there are to be combats at single stick to amuse the folk. 4 guineas the prize for the man who breaks most heads. Afterward there is to be a grinning match through horse. Collars a very humorous sport which I must stay here and witness, for I am interested in whatever entertains my subjects. Pitt, not one in all the land but knows it, sir. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.